My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club. We are already at a Tolo Tuesday here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. I'm Sean Sharif alongside Ralph James Choppy. We got Peyton running things live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube with Bobby Roberto Belt out for the day. Being a dad.
Being a dad. Wow.
Being a husband.
One out of every 365, right? It happens. But it's funny because you said Tolo Tuesday. And Sarah said yesterday, she goes, boy, it feels like a Sunday. Because, you know, it's like the next day you go to work. And I says, yeah, but give it 24 hours. It'll feel like a Thursday. And that's the beauty. Yes. That's the beauty of the 4-day work week. It's coming, kids. It's coming. Thanks to Gen Z.
Yeah, I heard that like some restaurants are even going towards a 4-day work week.
We were in Michigan there, and the amount of restaurants that were closed Sunday and Monday, or Monday and Tuesday, blew me away.
A lot of barbecue places, for some reason, are like that.
Yeah.
Like all the work, all the extra stuff, and they go ahead and shut it down for multiple days. I went out to Fort Worth to hang out with Pat Doney a couple weeks ago, more than that, and I was like looking to hit up the Fort Worth barbecue scene. Closed and closed.
I assume they're open on the weekends, right? That's like when they have to open.
Yeah.
That's the big day. But, I mean, yeah, if you're a restaurant, you're looking to...
A lot of times you go to these barbecue restaurants and there's no smoke billowing. There's nothing going on. And you're like, yo, where's the food? Yeah. Where's the barbecue? And these places are like resting their meats now for like 12 or 13 hours. So they get it done the night before and it's sitting in this warmer for like 13, 14, 15 hours. So they don't have the smoke going while you're there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Throws you off a little bit.
It does. It does. But yeah, I mean, if you got to find time to take days off of your restaurant, Monday and Tuesday is probably the day to do it, right?
The rain held off, fortunately. Threatening here and there. At least it held off for me in Sunnyvale. This morning, some early drips, but had the big station party, and I was just holding my breath. I'm like, Friday, good. Saturday, good. And now we have the overcast on Sunday, and it's going to hit. Got a few drops for a couple of minutes. But otherwise, hopefully it held off for everyone with their plans over the weekend and on Monday.
Little bit of rain. Got a little bit of rain. I guess it was that night, Sunday night, it rained. But yesterday it was, I mean, for the most part, it was fine. Little bit of drizzle, but no, it was an easy day yesterday.
Yeah, I need the rain, guys. That water bill came in the other day. And now the little issue we had in my front lawn did not affect the water bill. It's just a little puddle happening there.
What issue?
So it looks like a sprinkler head is either jammed or something. The sprinkler head isn't popping up when I, you know, have the zone on. And so there's just like a puddle of water around this. So it's like anything underneath it just like puddling up. And I thought, okay, is there running water? And there's not, at least for my my water bill doesn't say there is.
What's your water bill start with?
A one.
Oh. That's good.
Oh, I don't know.
That's really good.
What did y'all start with?
It's it starts with a one, but the second number is a nine.
Oh.
So
yours starts with a one. Oh, you got the turf in the back too.
Yeah, the turf in the back. I only have a front. I have a front and a side yard, so yeah. I don't have much to water.
Yeah, I don't really want to get into what.
You have an acre of land. You have an acre of land. It better be higher. Yeah. If mine's higher than yours, then I know I got a pipe that burst.
I was trying to put in, like, you know, we have this little inflatable, like, what do you call it, bounce house or kids slide, and I was trying to put that up for Ollie and the kids on Sunday, and I broke a stake trying to hammer this into the ground. Now, I'm not Mr. Handyman anyway, but my wife comes outside. She's like, "You need help? You need help?" I'm like, "I don't know why this is so difficult. I've done this before. I had to get a hammer because the damn ground is not accepting anything. It's rock hard out there.
It's very hard. It's that,
not taking it. Even though it's rock hard, it's not taking it.
Clay, man. We got that Texas clay, that red clay underneath. And
oh, yeah.
It's I assume when they built your pool, the same thing. They ran into...
I had to pay extra for, like, clay injections.
They ran into shale. Like all kinds of crap. Like, they busted out this big, giant stake and just banging the hell out of these rocks underneath. And that's all it was. My yard was all rock.
So, NFL opening week is here. But let's start off with a ton of college football. We'll get into the Cowboys. Mike Zimmer going off in an interview at 6:20. We got Ludacris tickets at 7:20 for the Expressway all week long. But this could be the story of the college football season a couple of weeks in.
Now Castellanos throwing. Caught. Touchdown, Boston College. Kai Robichaux is the Eagle in the end zone. Left flat. BC leads 20-6.
And BC wins 28-13. BC Radio with the call. And Bobby's Florida State Seminoles. Thank goodness Bobby is out, so we don't have to hear about his hate for DJ Ukulele. Because he has been crushing Florida State's quarterback for over a year. And the Florida State Seminoles, RJ, are 0-2 for the third time in five seasons to start off. Number 10, stinky.
They stink. He stinks. He stunk for a very, very long time. And this, you know, Paul Feinbaum said that they are the most likely top 10 team to not finish the season ranked. And the stats behind this just blow you away. This is first of all, the FBS teams that were double-digit favorites in the first over this weekend, in the first 2 weeks, are 71-1. And Florida State is 0-2. The other one, your boy, Vandy, was a double-digit dog, and they beat Virginia Tech.
Yes.
Other little nuggets from this game. Florida State lasts 45 years of the third top 10 team to start 0-2 as a double-digit favorite.
Wow.
First time in program history, they lost a home game as a top 10 team while a double-digit favorite. And they're the fourth preseason team in the last 10 years to start 0-2. It's so bad there. And it's so poetic that Florida State and Clemson are complaining and trying to sue the ACC to get out of it because they think they're too good for the ACC. And here's Florida State, 0-2, against bottom feeders Georgia Tech and Boston College, and then Clemson realized over the weekend they're not even on the same planet as Georgia, a team that is about 80 miles away from them, and they recruit literally the same player.
Too many white guys.
Too many white guys, Roddy.
According to Roddy White, the former Atlanta Falcon, as I think DeAndre Hopkins was complaining, the former Clemson football player, saying, look at this offense. This offense stinks, but...
About white.
Exactly. And the Georgia Bulldogs heating it up on old D-bag Dabo.
Two receivers tight to the left. That's Lovett and Smith. One to the right. That's Colby Young. He's going after Colby. Beck puts it in the air. Caught on a spinning move in the end zone. Touchdown, Georgia.
Man, that's Georgia Radio with the call. Dabo is without Deshaun Watson and without Trevor Lawrence. He is just... Jack Easter being a crew neck. That's all he is. That's all that dude is. He has got a big bag of nothing and
34-3.
And they looked like they were completely inept. I would love to see, you know, DJU's dad probably isn't going to be saying much today, but I would love to see his thoughts on Dabo's offense because that is the same offense that his kid ran. It may not have been. It was DJU. He was a part of the problem. Maybe Cade isn't. Maybe it's just Dabo's offense. That's a problem.
And Roddy White tweeted that color was a problem. Clemson got too many white dudes on the field on offense. This ain't them. You mean to tell me you only got one black dude out there making plays? That's a recruiting problem. People came back at him. Seems a little racist. imagine the outrage if a white person claimed the team's problem was having too many black players. Of course, we know the double standard there.
Oh, yeah.
Because someone would be banned and canceled for life if they said it the opposite way.
Absolutely. If they said that, they would be canceled for life. Now, he eventually would say this, quote, I'm getting a lot of blowback for the too many white players comment. I apologize if someone thought I was being racist, but everybody knows me. I'm not. I looked out there, and 10 of the 11 players were white. I can't recall ever seeing a Clemson team like that.
Way to back off.
I think he kind of dug in.
Yeah.
I think he kind of dug in on that one.
Yeah.
So there's Roddy White. And, you know, like I said, DeAndre Hopkins is complaining, and it's bad. It's bad for Florida State. It's bad for Clemson. And both those programs deserve everything.
I can't wait to see him get run, too.
Dabo?
Yeah. Smart ass.
There's the question, like, he just gave them their best ever decade. Like, what are they going to do? Are they going to, they're going to have to force him to either, they're going to give him an ultimatum. Like, he's probably earned the right to get an ultimatum. Like, dude, change your ways, go to the portal, go to NIL, or you're gone. Like, they're going to have to give him that ultimatum. He's earned it. He's earned the right to do it his way, and his way is showing that it's not going to work. So now it's up to the AD to say, all right, look, your way, we tried it your way. Not going to work. Now you're going to do it this way.
It looks like Pepe is wearing some burnt orange. I can't see the logo or whatever the design is on the chest of the shirt. I can only see it hugging the biceps there. But is the biggest story from the Texas Longhorns opener, the backup.
Ball will be snapped from the left hash on second and goal. Ewers looks right, throws to the corner, caught. Touchdown, Texas. Matthew Golden, his first touchdown as a Texas Longhorn.
So Texas rolls 52-0 over Colorado State, but all the headlines didn't have Quinn.
No.
They had Arch.
They had Arch because we hadn't seen much of Arch, you know, and we saw, you know, not a ton of them, but we saw some flashes in this one. And we saw a really nice dime pass. We saw a kind of a Mahomes-y type touchdown play where he uses his legs. Mannings don't use their legs.
Yeah.
Mannings generally don't do that. This kid does. This is different. This is a different kind of Manning. And then he did that flip pass down to the sidelines. So it was cool to see Arch. Quinn looked fine. Quinn looked like he's going to be in the Heisman running, you know, which he will be. He'll be in the top six or so of the Heisman all year. But it is going to be quite the storyline if they blow out a lot of opponents and Arch looks really, really solid in the meantime.
Pepe, what were you excited about with the Longhorn win? Was it everything else or was it Arch?
I mean, I really want to see what Jaden Blue had to offer running back. You know, the Longhorns are down to the third string now. You know, see what he has out there. That's a big part of their game, and he was really good. And now, I mean, it's hard. I know a lot of people want to jump ship and just go, you know, oh, well, like, this is the team right now. It's Texas. But, again, it's Colorado State. They have Michigan, and, man, that line against Michigan's moving up. It's going up. I think Texas is now 7-point favorite at the Big House this weekend. So I was impressed. And then, obviously, yeah, you were just waiting there after the second half to see when Arch was coming in.
And now I have a decision to make personally as I'm researching flights and hotel rooms because I'm going to be making my first ever trip to Nashville.
Oh, baby. You got
to
go.
I'm going to see the godson play. Now, he was killing it in practice, freshman at Vanderbilt as a tight end slash receiver. And then a teammate fell on his collarbone and broke it.
Oh, no.
So clean break for the collarbone. Out for a while, but he's apparently like 3 weeks away from returning, and I'm trying to figure out whether I should go to Vanderbilt, Bama, or Vandy, Texas. Now, as my wife said, oh, it's easy. You know, it's obvious. Like, we should just go to the Texas game. The Texas game, and I timed it out, both Cowboy games on that Sunday for the morning I would fly back to play Sunday Night Football. So that's going to work out well. I get back, Cowboys are still going to have the night game, be in here on Monday. And yeah, it probably makes more sense for Texas, but I don't want to wait. Like I'm itching. I've been around Texas fans. I kind of want to see what Bama fans are like and what Bama fans are like traveling. I also don't want Vanderbilt to be too far out of it. So they get smoked by Bama or they lose another game, and then, you know, it's kind of less stakes on the line. Not that it's going to be an SEC championship preview against Alabama, but I want as much hype as possible, so I'm thinking about going to the earlier game against Bama versus waiting a couple weeks for the Longhorns.
So here's the thing: when you got to remember with Vandy, it's unlike any other SEC school, where if you go to the Texas game, or if you go to the Bama game, if you go to there's three games at Vandy you go to: Bama, Kentucky, and Tennessee. Those are going to be 80% Bama, Kentucky, and Tennessee fans in the stadium.
Yeah.
Because Vandy just doesn't have a big fan base. Texas is not going to travel to Nashville to go see a Vanderbilt game. Right? They're going to save their money. That's not the game. They're not earmarking that game. Oh, let's go to that. Now, unless they just want to go to a game looking for a cheap ticket. Yeah. That might be it. But you also might not have the atmosphere because it might not be as many people there because Vandy just doesn't sell out their stadium. That said, there was a student wait to get into this game.
Yes.
And they never have that at Vandy. So I don't know if they've got some kind of...
new freshman tight end.
It's the new freshman tight end.
It's the new freshman tight end.
I don't know what's going on. Like, is there some new thing going on at Vandy where there's a new coach? And I haven't followed Vanderbilt because they don't really ever matter.
Yeah.
But that does intrigue me.
So which one do you think right now if you had to pick?
Best atmosphere, your two best atmospheres. Yeah, I would probably do. Bama's gonna be more expensive though.
I think I can get in the friends and family section.
Well, yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
got the discount at the hotel.
There you go. Yeah, their big home games are Bama, Texas, South Carolina, and Tennessee. That's it.
I just don't want the air to be sucked out of the drama for a Texas matchup after they've probably lost to Missouri. Then they get Alabama after that, and then the Longhorns on the 26th of October versus Bama on October 5th. So I don't know. I need your help and advice on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line at 877-881-1053. The Cowboys officially announced their number two and number three quarterbacks, and why is Mike Zimmer going off when they don't even face this team this year? Inside the Star on the home of the Cowboys for opening week coverage next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve... deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Opening week is here. It's going to be the Ravens and the Chiefs on Thursday. Filthy playing Green Bay Friday in Brazil. Darius Slay is already sounding like an Olympic athlete being thrown into the crappy village and being told to stay inside. More on that in a little bit. I'm Sean Trafe alongside RJ Choppy. Bobby Belt will be back tomorrow. We got PayPay running things live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And early good morning to the Twolos and YouTube with Dak Delusional, Lil Dallas. We got Gregory on here. We got Claim Pincher. And we have John Frank along with Emilio and Nighthawk on Twitter. Cowboys came out and confirmed that Trey Lance will be the number three behind Cooper Rush during a week in which many people think it's do or Dak, Dak or die, however you want to phrase it, for the Cowboys to pay their quarterback before the season begins.
Got till Sunday. Sunday at 3-something is probably your end date for that one.
What a great week, in my opinion, for Dak Prescott. Just able to sit back, relax, and wait for the phone to ring because you got them by the short ones.
Well, you do. Oh, there's no doubt. You got them right there, right where you want them. And they may or may not bite on it. You know, it all depends on, because, you know, we talked to Florio last week and, you know, he's like, unless the Cowboys know, kind of throwing this one out there, right? He's already, I love the lawyer in him where he just throws out the collusion word because he loves to throw out the collusion word. But he's like, you know, unless they know the whole league's going to collude against it because, you know, the NFL does not want. You know the NFL owners do not want a true free agent quarterback in their prime. They do not want that on the open market.
Well, some are calling this the biggest free agent quarterback ever, and I was like, that would be Peyton Manning.
Yeah, now the only thing with Peyton is that he was coming off the injury. Nobody really knew how he was going to play. They just assumed.
Yeah.
They just assumed.
Now, he was a free agent, right? It wasn't a trade.
No, he was a free agent. They cut. You know, they released him in Indy, and he went on that tour.
Was Tom free?
He was a free agent too. But again, now that was the end, and it ended the prime.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Dak is in his prime, and you know, Manning was kind of at the end of his prime, but
that just
also the injury.
That just disgusts though Dak haters and overall NFL fans to say that Dak Prescott would be the biggest free agent ever. People, that's not said. It doesn't settle right with people.
It doesn't. I mean, it does. I get it. I understand. It's
just an in your prime quarterback. It's an in your prime, very good quarterback who just finished second in the MVP.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. And he is at the peak of his career. Like, this is the peak of his career. Last year was his best year ever, I believe. Now you could say that his certain things were better in other years, but I thought he put it all together last year and he was phenomenal. So this would be a huge, huge moment for the NFL if Dak gets to free agency. And it'd be a terrible moment for the Cowboys.
And Nick Eatman predicting on Friday that he thinks the deal gets done this week. What do you think? Let's put it on the record. Today on Tuesday, before we start this thing on Sunday, is Dak Prescott signed with a long-term extension this week?
I 57% yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I still think it's obviously far more likely that he comes here that versus not, but I'll say 57% yes.
So then why do you think, let's say it happens, why do you think it took this long? They'll say it's getting our affairs in order financially, making sure we can pay this and fix that and twist that, because you can make anything spin to your argument in this world of sports and NFL spending, in particular.
I think the reason it took so long is one, yes, that like they had an order in which they wanted to do things and they wanted to wait. But I also think that, you know, part of this is Dak just didn't want to take the offer they were giving him. You know, like they absolutely would have signed Dak for $53 million, and Dak's just like, I'm not going there. I'm just not doing that. Like, that's not where I am. I need to have more money. I think that's a major problem.
877-881-1053, Franklin Franco injury attorney text line. Why is Mike Zimmer going off with an interview about the Minnesota Vikings now? I could see if they were opening against Minnesota.
I would think that.
But reporters in Minneapolis hitting up Mike Zimmer to talk about the ending, and in true Zim fashion, he got some bangers here.
Oh, yeah, he does. This is from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Towards the end of it, you know, he had an 8-year run. I thought it was longer than 8 years. But they went to the NFC Championship game in 2017 with Case Keenum. They were beat by the Eagles by 31. He was let go after 2021 when they went 8-9. All right, they went 8-9. And the article starts out, Zim was crushed, angry, sleep-deprived, the rare coaching lifer who had never been fired. They asked me if I wanted to address the team, and I said, hell no, they got me fired. I didn't know I was supposed to go to HR and sign out or whatever. No one told me. I got all my stuff, got in my truck, and left. I can tell you I've not watched one Minnesota game since.
They asked me if I wanted to address the team. Yeah. Hell no, they got me fired.
Hell no, they got me fired.
But he's kind of blaming the general manager.
Yes. The next part of this article goes with four third-round picks. Rick Spielman selected in order Kellen Mond, Chaz Surratt, Wyatt Davis, and Patrick Jones II. Zim was there for only the first pick. When he picked Mond, I walked out of the room. I left the building. I didn't even talk to him on the phone. They talked the next morning, and Rick said, you mad at me? And I said, yeah, I think he took four backups when we had guys there I thought were starters. Only Jones, with four career starts, is still a Viking. Mond, Surratt, and Davis have zero starts. Mond lasted 1 year. Minnesota is now out of football. He played three snaps in one game, the 37-10 loss to Green Bay that knocked the playoffs, knocked the Vikings from playoff contention. People made a big deal out of me saying after that game that I didn't need to see more of Mond. I saw him every day in practice. Maybe I was omniscient.
Yeah, we need Bobby for that word.
Or something. He played three NFL snaps and two were bad.
And I remember that quote. And I'm sure I blasted Zimmer for that quote, like inappropriate. Like, unnecessary, just destroying his quarterback. Like, no, I don't need to say anymore. I watch him practice every day. Basically calling him an outright bum. Yeah. Now, he ended up being right, but you don't say that out loud as a head coach. And he did, and he was right, but leaving the building and walking out because he was not happy with the GM picks.
This is insane. Like, this is, like, this wild. Not wrong wild, just like, holy cow, I can't believe this is happening.
He's also ticked off at a guy that I got ticked off with last time he was on, because in true Homer fashion, Paul Allen, he's loose! I love that all-time call of Adrian Peterson. He tried to act like everything was kumbaya with Stephon Diggs. And we're like, no, that's not what all the reports are saying. And he, you know, basically homered it up.
Wow, it's amazing that a play-by-play guy would homer it up on social media. I know. Never seen anything like that.
Ask RJ Ochoa about that. But he was doing play-by-play when Zimmer shoved Cousins, which I went back and watched that again three times yesterday, of this weird tension. You could tell that Mike Zimmer just hated Kirk Cousins' guts. We should have asked him about that on the beach in Oxnard. And Paul Allen was observing that, saying Mike Zimmer snapped. Well, Zim, in this interview, said, I just didn't like what Paul Allen said. We're supposed to be friends. Why you got to talk about me? Unfortunately, I hold grudges. That's just how I am. So he's mad at the play-by-play guy for describing the weird, awkward shove. He just wanted to overlook that and pretend like it was nothing. And, you know, there's a reason why some people are regarded as coordinators. Mm-hmm. Because Mike Zimmer is not going to, and I'm a big fan of Mike Zimmer as the defensive coordinator here, but Mike Zimmer may not do all the PC public relations sure. stuff that you need in terms of kissing babies and glad handling, shaking hands, kissing handing. Babies, and yeah. glad handling with ownership in the front office.
A little
rough around the edges.
He is, but for somebody who's rough around the edges the last 8 years,
yep.
pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, those guys usually flame out in a couple, two
well,
or three.
I think he had a nice run there.
I think it was fine. Like, he never had an elite quarterback. Yeah, a good one. Kirk was a good quarterback, never elite.
Mike McCarthy said, quote, Zim's a straight shooter, not a lot of fluff. This generation needs more of it. So that's Mike Zimmer going off on his former organization, and they don't even play this year. And they definitely are not playing. Like, this piece just came out of nowhere.
It really did. Like it was very, very odd. The Star Tribune just needed, like, they were like, we need to have
we don't have our rookie quarterback here. Yeah. We need content,
and let's call up Mike Zimmer and see if there's any beef still.
We ran out of Brian Flores stuff. So that's what's happening there. The shooting in San Francisco.
Ricky Pearsall,
rookie wide receiver, narrowly escaping death during an armed robbery Saturday night. And he was signing autographs at a nearby event in the afternoon, walked towards Union Square, and there were shots fired at around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. A 17-year-old male attempted to rob him of his Rolex at gunpoint, and apparently the bullet, RJ, went through his chest. And Pearsall's like, hey, I am a professional athlete. I'm a rookie receiver in the National Football League. I can get in a physical altercation here. The struggle for the gun resulted in gunfire. Both the suspect who was arrested and the victim were shot. Serious but stable condition, but it sounds like he's going to be okay, as his mom was giving an update that God spared my baby boy.
Shot through the chest, like, I can't fathom how he's just fine.
Yeah.
Now, because when I think chest, I mean like through the middle of the chest. Now, it could have been like upper part. There's one side of the chest. They're like, if you're gonna get shot, like that's the place to go because it goes right through. I don't know what side it is. But.
So I caught some heat for this, and I knew I would, but I wanted to troll San Francisco as much as possible. And I quote tweeted this story, and I was like, San Francisco, ladies and gentlemen. And a couple of people are like, oh, like you know, shootings happen everywhere. Like this doesn't happen in Dallas. I think it was the founder of Cash App who got murdered and killed in San Francisco. We haven't had high-profile celebrities just walking the streets of downtown or uptown, and they get mugged or fearing for their safety in uptown Dallas. That doesn't happen here. It happens in San Francisco. And, you know, Charles Barkley makes fun of it all the time, and Mike Bassick is always talking about what California, but what San Francisco has become along with Oakland. And Bassick just said, the Rangers told us to stay away. He texted me, the Rangers told us to stay away from Union Square back in May because how dangerous it is down there.
That's what this was, wasn't it? Union Square?
Yeah. So that's not happening in uptown. I haven't heard a lot of incidents happening in downtown. Now, we don't have the greatest downtown. I wouldn't walk around downtown just everywhere freely at 9 o'clock at night. But
there's also nothing down there. We don't have, like, our downtown is not like a, hey, let's go downtown Dallas. It's like more, like you said, uptown is more the place where everybody goes. It just seems a little bit safer. But, I mean, yeah, like, look, it does happen everywhere. But those are famous people, like you said, the Cash App guy and then Ricky getting shot, right through the chest in a robbery. I mean, we just had a cop in Oak Cliff killed the other day, murdered the other day. That it's awful. Like, it happens everywhere. But like you said, famous people just being, robbed at gunpoint. I mean, that sucks.
Speaking of Bally Bassick, he was working TV. Were the kids enough to get it done against the Yankees? And our best and worst of the weekend, who gets star up, star down for the radio station party at my house on Sunday? That's next, along with Ludacris tickets all around the corner with Sean and RJ.
1-1 pitch. Swinging a drive to right field. That one's back. Butler, the track at the wall. That one's out of here. Oppo Taco to end it. Josh Young, a 3-run home run. The Rangers walk it off and beat the A's 6-4.
Of course, that happened over the weekend right here on this radio station. 105.3 The Fan, your home of the World Series champs and the Cowboys. It's Sean and RJ. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club. Welcome back to the shortened work week. Thank you for turning it on and leaving it on. So the Jared Sandler call, courtesy of Josh Young, helped the Rangers win 5 of 6. Now, of course, they swept the White Sox, and then they took 2 of 3 against the Athletics before losing the opener yesterday with Jack Leiter on the mound against the Yankees. So in the American League West, the Rangers are 10 back and 9.5 back in the wild card as time continues to dwindle down.
It dwindles. They obviously needed that game on Sunday against the swinging A's. They did not want to lose 2 of 3 and take 2 of 3 from the team that was the hottest in baseball in the American League post All-Star break. Pretty good. They ran into a tough situation yesterday. You were going against Garrett Cole, and you got Jack Leiter out there. Like, that's, I mean, it's tough, right? It's just it's a really, really difficult proposition. And the Yankees lineup is not as good as people think it is. It's two guys. And
the third one got you yesterday.
Third one got you yesterday in Stanton. Ball barely landed. But for the most part, it's like you're really petrified of two people. And if Stanton's healthy, then you're worried about him too. But, you know, Garrett Cole is just quite the monster of a pitcher. And he was really, really good yesterday. And then he leaves with a calf cramp in the seventh.
Jack Leiter, thoughts overall?
I thought it was a much, much, I know the numbers don't look like it, 5-5, but it was a much, first of all.
He felt it was his best performance in the bigs as well, and he was calmer.
He was definitely calmer. You saw that in the first inning.
And Bassick's been talking about that nonstop, and he ended up being right because Leiter was talking about it in the post when asked. 5 innings, 5 earned. Like you said, doesn't look like a great stat line. 2 strikes. I don't think he got a swing and a miss on a slider either. But no walks.
He did strike Judge out, and I thought that was a slider. I don't know if there was maybe it was a curveball. They called it. I thought it was. They say curve. But yeah. Look, you limit the pitches. All right, he limited the amount of pitches in the first inning, and that was key. That was what they were looking for. He got it 1-2-3. He did not throw a ton of pitches in that first inning, and that's exactly what you were looking for. He only threw 9 pitches. And in the second inning, it was kind of the same thing. You know, first pitch to Wells, then 4 pitches, and then 4. So 9 in the second inning as well. We had seen him go 30 pitches in the first inning.
Oh, yeah.
And it only takes him 18 to get out of the first two. Whatever happens after that, that was a plus. Like, he was looking really, really solid to start. This is what happens, though. Good lineups are going to see you the second time through, the third time through. They're going to make adjustments, and they did, and he didn't.
Pitched into the sixth inning for the first time in 5 big league starts, and there's word that Jacob DeGrom could pitch on Saturday. The possibility exists out there for that.
Well, I mean, look, if they're out of it, they're out of it. If they're in it, then, you know, that might change their plan. If they're completely out of it, they would not rush him back. If they still, you know, like if they win the rest of the games this week and all of a sudden there's a bunch of guys losing in front of them and now a 10-game deficit is 5, all right, then like, okay, then you can see what they would do there.
Well, everyone has been losing in front of them in the division. Seattle has lost 3 straight with their new manager. The Astros lost their last game. So the armpit leads the West by 6 games. And the Rangers, as I said, they're 10 back, and they trail the Mariners by 4.
Almost like Scott Service wasn't the problem over there in Seattle. They lose the 3 straight with their new manager. Maybe it's the karma for DePoto for firing him via Ken Rosenthal.
And the Yankees are now a half game up on the Orioles.
Yeah, so that's a tight race. You've got everybody in the American League, pretty much you know who the teams are. You know the teams that are going to make the playoffs. In the AL, there's nowhere it's going to be. The Yankees are making it, and Baltimore's making it. Cleveland's making it. Minnesota and Kansas City are making it, and then Houston. Nobody else within 4 games in the wild card.
Eovaldi versus Stroman tonight. Marcus with a 3-8-1 and a 10-6 record. Pregame 6:30 on this radio station. First pitch at 7.
We will be there.
Oh,
yep. Taking the boys. Taking Sarah's going, and the kiddos are going. And we will be out there to. You know, go check out the game. It's the kids are like they haven't asked about a game all year. They haven't asked all year. And Aaron Judge comes to town, all of a sudden they want to go get tickets. I'm like, you couldn't have gone and asked for the cheaper games. You know, you couldn't ask to see Kansas City and our boy Bobby Jr. that you go to the same high school after?
You couldn't
ask to go see him? No. You want to go see the game where you can't get into the building for less than like $200?
Where are you sitting?
We are in 107.
Okay.
Well,
that's
right at third base. Right at third base.
Oh, well, not well.
First
base would have got a well.
What was first base?
Yeah.
Are you profiling which base side we're on?
Yeah, you got to be home side here. Home side.
Let's get into what everyone did. We make a couple of adjustments because of the day off yesterday. We'll do Ask Reddit at 7:40. Wait a second. Did I get the pitching matchup wrong? Bassick is texting me. You know what? I think I gave the Wednesday.
It's Rodon. It's
matchup.
Rodon's pitching.
I'm sorry. Correct me on
and
that.
And Heaney. Yeah. Rodon and Heaney.
My bad, Michael. That's why he's on Bally, and I'm not. Best and worst of the weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad fucking weekend.
Let us know what you got into on the Frank LaFranco Injury Attorney text line, YouTube, and Twitch, 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. Mike Bassick was working TV. Otherwise, I just 1,000,000% assume he would have been at my house on Sunday for the first annual station pool party before Cowboys season kicks off. Got lucky with the weather.
Yes.
Got lucky with the rain. RJ got in the pool. He's like, what are you doing with this water? How do you get this water so cold?
I know.
It was refreshingly chilly.
It was. I was like, wait a second. Mine's like a bath.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on over here? And it was nice. It was very nice to get in a pool and not sweat from the water.
Yes.
That was key.
Who made it out from the station? We had Choppy. We had Pepe with his girlfriend, Mackenzie. We had Alec Medford came in. With the interesting shorts. Looked like he just got out of a rec league game at the Y. I think they were cotton or wool. I'm not sure. Ruben, who takes care of us out on the roads for the Firehouse Tour and training camp. Kevin Hagelin bringing the family. And then Brian brought us from the G-Bag Nation with Zach Wolchuk at Disney and Eric Tiafalo just not responding. Will Chambers, Chris Arnold, the boss Gavin Spittle. Don't know who else I'm leaving out. A couple of Tolos that helped build the house and work on it. Pepe, your impressions.
Well, Bobby did show up.
Bobby.
He showed up with a hoodie. Yeah, you guessed it right.
Another hoodie. And my plan was, I said, we're throwing this a-hole in. We're going to get his phone. Let's make sure his phone is out of his pocket.
Yeah.
We're tossing him in the pool, but he was not falling for it.
He wasn't. He knew. He picked up on it. It was everyone was disappointed in us that we did not find a way to get him in that pool.
Yeah.
We could have just his phone. I should have thought of this. His phone's water resistant.
Oh,
we could have thrown him in and the phone would have been fine.
I'd feel terrible if I broke someone's phone.
I know.
I would feel bad about that.
Oh,
but yep, Bobby came in the sweatshirt again and did not get in the water. And getting people, y'all let me know if this is a challenge for you at your house or the pool parties you go to. Getting people in the water is a problem. This is a fight that I cannot figure out how to win.
I have never had a problem with this. Like people come over the house, they're always getting in. I wonder how much it is that they know we're on the radio and we're going to talk about it, and they're self-conscious that we're going to talk about it on the radio.
I'm not going to sit there and judge everyone's bodies on the radio.
I did.
And break it down.
I did.
And talk about it. But people stayed inside for a while. I had to be out there with little man. He was dying to get in the pool. But had the two foods. As my wife, I can't win. When I barbecue and grill, she goes, I don't want you to grill because when everyone's over here, you'll be in the corner and not conversing and socializing. And then when I say I'm going to order 14 pizzas, she goes, well, people are going to expect you to cook.
So that's like, true. We did. When I first saw the pizzas, I was like, oh no.
Oh yeah. She was giving me a hard time.
I'm very disappointed in this.
Yeah.
So I didn't come all this way for thin crust.
Yeah, it was great. Thin crust though.
So it was very good. It was tremendous. I didn't come all this way for that.
I said, okay, so how can I get a win-win here? I was like, I'm going to make the unique move of serving lunch and dinner. You don't get that. No, you don't get two meals at a party.
No.
So I woke up at 6:30. I did the pulled pork. I let it rest for 4 hours. And then around 4 o'clock, we had our second meal of the pulled pork and the mac and cheese. So that's how that went.
Did you make that mac and cheese yourself?
No. That's Costco.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Good.
Oh, it's tremendous.
Very good. Go to Costco. $11.
$11?
Yeah. Put some foil over it and bake it for 50 minutes. You're good to
everything,
go.
You didn't touch it. You didn't add anything to it.
Wasn't it good?
It's tremendous.
Very good mac and cheese. Mm-hmm. And then Peyton and I, we have to pat ourselves on the back and high five on the fan cam. Undefeated at beer pong. We ran it. And I have to say, you were the MVP.
He's a very good beer pong player. It was very windy out.
Yes.
Y'all had a headwind. Our side had a tailwind. I don't know which is better. I will say Peyton takes the most unathletic beer pong stance of anybody. You know, like I'm out there like, you know, trying to like trying to look like The Rock, you know, getting ready to go.
And RJ's in the windup, man. He's
going to wind
he's
up.
Throwing bullets.
Bam, bam, bam. Just like darts, right? Bam. And then here's Peyton, got this weird stance like he's Norman Dale out there teaching how to play basketball. You don't get that reference, Peyton, but there's somebody out there that does. And then he's got his little floater, and it works. It works tremendously. I was disappointed in Ruben. I was very disappointed in Ruben.
Ruben is a bouncer. He bounces way too. Yeah. I like to bounce, but too many times. Someone was throwing up underhand shots like Rick Barry out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no wonder. But the question for the fan text is it a man card violation that seltzer was used instead of beer? And is it a man card violation? You have a problem with this. When you don't pour the drinks into the cups and you just leave the water in there and you each take your sips.
Yeah, you sanitary people.
Yeah.
Listen, it's supposed to be dirty.
Gotta get your hands dirty a little.
Yeah, when you're playing beer pong, when you go to Vegas, when you go play beer pong in Vegas at Rockin' Brews or whatever, and you're out there running the table for 8 hours straight, and everybody's got their muddy shoes everywhere, and the beer and the ping pong balls are going all over the floor, and it goes in your beer and you drink it. That's what it's supposed to be. All right. If you don't have a little bit of dirt and grass in that beer, you're not really playing beer pong.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. Seltzer, you want to go with seltzer? You want to go with alcohol? I'm not going to kill you on
then
that.
Then Bobby
as much.
Tried to fight me. He goes, It's double of beer. And I'm like, since when? It makes seltzers the exact same content as beer. And he tried to like chest up and you want to bet? You want to bet? And I was like, go ahead. And he goes out of the coolers and reads each one. He's like, all right, it's 0.6 higher. It's 0.7% higher. He's like, fine, you want me to pour? You know, Bobby's got to take it from 0 to 100. He goes, fine, I'll pour liquor in mine. I'll pour liquor in all my little seltzer shots over there. And I was like, don't pour liquor.
Your RTDs, as they call them, Sean, the ready-to-drinks are on average 5%. Yeah, 5% alcohol.
But we ran it. We went undefeated, Peyton.
Yeah, we did. I believe I went when Bobby tried to challenge me early on. You know, I beat him, and then me and Sean ran the tables for 3 or 4 in a row, undefeated.
Yeah, but nice time. I was expecting more chaos. I was hoping for, you know, I was hoping for more drunk activities. But everyone was on pretty decent behavior.
Yeah, everyone was. It was,
I had a margarita machine.
Yeah.
I had pina coladas rolling out. My wife was making shots once an hour.
Yep.
I was trying to turn it up.
You did. You got turned because you don't have to. You had to walk. You just walked to your bedroom.
That's right.
You know, I think you scared us with the road leading in with all the cops.
I went 27 on that road.
I'm sorry, but I felt like it was I probably watered down the party a little bit, but I felt like it was a smart, friendly thing to do. I wouldn't want a DUI on my conscience, but everyone knows in Sunnyvale, there's not enough things to police.
Right.
So if you go 37, 38, you're getting pulled over.
Yeah,
it's happening. And they just sit on that one road. And I mass texted everyone, do not go over 35 miles per hour. Nope. So maybe I scared people.
You might have.
Sober.
I think you did. You definitely scared me, I'll tell you that. I was like, nope, I am not getting loaded up today.
Best and worst of the weekend here on Sean and RJ. It's DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan, Highland Park representing. We have a youth football problem and the latest details over the tragedy that hit the National Hockey League. That and a ludicrous ticket giveaway on the way with Sean and RJ.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.